4:11:21. Ayusho apachayam janto tatayavo pachayam vibhu ubhabhyam rohita swastho dustasya vidhati aso Ayusho pachayam janto tatayavo pachayam vibhu ubhabhyam rohita swastho dustasya vidhatyaso Ayushaha of duration of life apachayam diminution janto of the living entities tata similarly eva also upachayam increase vibhu the supreme personality of Godhead ubhabhyam from both of them rahita free Swastaha, always situated in his transcendental position. Dustasya, of the living entities, under the laws of karma. Vidhati, awards. Aso, he. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the all-powerful and is all-powerful, and he awards the results of one's fruitive activities. Thus, although one living entity's duration of life is very small, whereas that of another is very great, he is always in his transcendental position, and there is no question of lessening or increasing his duration of life. Purport. Both the mosquito and Lord Brahma are living entities in the material world. Both are minute sparks and are part of the Supreme Lord. The very short duration of the life of the mosquito and the very long lifetime of Lord Brahma are both awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the results of their karma. But in the Brahma Sangita we find it said, Karmani Nirdahati. The Lord diminishes or vanquishes the reactions of devotees. The same fact is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Yagyartat Karmano Nyatra. One should perform karma only for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one is bound by the action and reaction of karma. Under the laws of karma, a living entity wanders within the universe under the rule of eternal time. And sometimes he becomes a mosquito, and sometimes Lord Brahma. To a sane man, this business is not very fruitful. Bhagavad Gita gives a warning to the living entities, Yanti Deva Vrta Devan. Those who are addicted to the worship of the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, and those addicted to worship of the Pitas, forefathers, go to the Pitas. Those who are inclined to material activities remain in the material sphere, but persons who engage in devotional service reach the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where there is neither birth nor death, nor different varieties of life under the influence of the law of karma. The best interest of the living entity is to engage himself in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur advised, My friend, you are being washed away in the material nature's waves of time. Please try to understand that you are the eternal servant of the Lord. Then everything will stop and you will be eternally happy. Ayusho pachayam jantos tatayavo pachayam vibhu Ubhavyam rohita svasto dustasya vidatyaso. The difference between the Lord and the living being, one difference is described here. The Lord is swastha. He's situated in his own transcendental position. And the living entity is dusta. He's in a lousy condition, miserable condition. Dustasya, dusta. Asta means situation, and du, bad. He's in a bad situation. Purusha prakriti sto hi bhunte prakriti jan guna karanam guna sangasya sadasad yoni janmashi. The living entity is trying to enjoy the products of the three modes of material nature. Bhunte prakriti jan guna. He's situated in the material nature. Prakritista. Prakritista and dusta are the same. To be situated in the material nature is bad. Prakritista. And why are we prakritista? Because we've taken the position of purusha. Purusha means the enjoyer. I always think of this purusha in this verse as being facetious. You know, the enjoyer. What kind of enjoyer? We're suffering like dogs, and we're enjoyers. Purusha. The actual Purusha is Krishna. Govindamadi Purusham. And we're trying to be Purushas, but we're also Prakriti. We're the energy of the Lord. We're meant to be engaged in the service of the Lord. But instead, we're trying to enjoy some other energy of the Lord. Purusha prakriti stohi. Bhunkte. And so what are we enjoying? Prakriti janguna. Whatever enjoyment prakriti will give. And what is that? The products of ignorance, products of passion, products of goodness. Products of ignorance are miserable from beginning to end. The products of passion are actually also miserable from beginning to end, but they appear like enjoyment in the beginning, and then at the end they show up as being miserable. And products of goodness are a little better, relatively speaking, because they give the opportunity for development of knowledge by which one can get out of material existence. But because it's still material nature, one becomes bewildered and thinks, well, I'm not so bad off as these poor idiots. I have an education. I can see what's what. My eyes are in my head. I'm living a natural way of life, eating healthy food, living in a peaceful way. I have peace of mind. I have, so one is thinking it's very nice. I can philosophize, read books. And one remains in the material world, philosophizing and reading books and staying healthy and living a natural way of life and being a good person and all of that. And rotting in birth and death. So this is the material world. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti janganan. And karanam guna sangasya. Because we're trying to enjoy material nature, we become associated with. Why are we associated with material nature? Because we're trying to enjoy material nature. Why does a man become associated with a woman? Because he wants to enjoy. Otherwise, he passed so many women on the street. But when a man wants to enjoy, then, hi, where are you from? I haven't seen you before. So because he wants to enjoy, he becomes associated. And then, of course, the nightmare begins. But this is the same thing. We have nothing to do with material nature. Asango hiyam purusha. Living entity has nothing to do with material nature. It's none of his business. But because he thinks he can enjoy the products of material nature, he becomes associated with material nature as the aspiring enjoyer. He's aspiring to enjoy, and therefore he becomes associated with material energy. And karanam guna sangasya, because he's associated with material energy, sadasad yoni janmasya. He takes birth in higher and lower species of life. Sometimes he's in the mode of goodness, and he goes to a higher species. Sometimes he's in the mode of ignorance, he's degraded to a lower species. Sometimes he's in the mode of passion, and he stays here. Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta madhye tishanti rajasa jaganya gunavritista adho gacchanti tamas. By goodness one is promoted, by passion one stays here, by ignorance one is degraded. So one thinks, all right, let me stay in goodness, I'll be promoted all the time. But it doesn't work like that. Material nature's modes are mixed, and one is sometimes going up to the higher planets, sometimes coming down to the lower planets, sometimes staying here. What is that? Gatagatam kama lapante. One is sometimes going up and sometimes coming down. Gatagatam means coming and going. Well, this is the situation of the living entity, and dusta, it's a bad condition. Purusha prakriti stohi pumte prakriti janakuna. Dusta. The good condition is to be in the spiritual world with Krishna. That's our natural condition, healthy condition. The eternal situation. Where there's no birth and death. The living entity has no birth and death. Najayate miyate va kadachin. But because he associates with material nature, he associates with birth and death. Associating with material nature means associating with this body. Associating with this body, identifying with this body, means going through birth and death. Otherwise there's no birth and death. But because we identify with material nature, material existence, we have to go through birth and death. Birth, death, and the other two, old age and disease. Dusta, dukkhalayam, shashvatam. The material world is miserable and temporary. That's the nature of the place. So, dusta. Therefore, it's not a good situation. Why does an eternal living being want to be situated in a temporary material body and go through birth and death? He should be situated in the eternal situation with Krishna. So, dusta. It's a bad condition. And in this bad condition, one is getting the results of one's previous activities. Yastrindra gopa matavendra maho shakarma bantanu rupa palapajana matanoti. From Indra, Lord Indra, the king of heaven, down to Indra gop. Indra gop means the tiny germ. Yastrindra gopa atavendra maho shakarma. From Maha Indra down to the Indra gop. Everyone is getting the results of his own karma, swakarma. And it's so complex that no one can figure it out. Kim karma, kim akarma, iti. What is that? Mohita. Kim karma, kim akarma, iti. Let's see. Kim Karma, Kim Akarameti. Where is that, I wonder? Somebody has a book with an index? Kim Karma, Kim Akarameti, something, Mohita. Nishgatva Mokshase Shubhat. Kim Karma Kim Karma Iti. You have one down there? Sure. Yat Tat Karma Pravakshami Nishgatva Mokshase Shubhat. Where is that? Probably like yesterday, I'm looking right at it and not seeing it. Found it? It's there. That sounds right. That's where it ought to be. Kaviyopyakshamo. That's it. Kim Karma Kim Karmeti Kaviyopyakshamohita, right? 416. Okay. Yeah, Kim Karma Kim Akarameti Kaviyo Pyatri Atramohita. Even the kavis, the learned persons, are bewildered about this matter. What is karma and what is akarma? Kim Karma Kim Akarameti Kaviyo Pyatramohita. Yes. Karmano Hyapi Bodhavyam Bodhavyam Chavik Vikarmana. Karmanascha bodhavyam gatana karmano gati. So, everyone is bewildered about this. What is karma, pious activity, or good activity, you know, good karma? People want good karma. What's good karma? What's bad karma? People are thinking they're doing good karma when actually they're getting bad karma. They're doing good to others by opening abortion clinics for the poor girls. So they're doing good for others, but they're getting bad karma. Killing the fetus in the womb. They think they're doing good, but actually they're getting entangled. They're eating natural food. They think it's good karma. But they're not offering it to Krishna, so it's bad karma, agampa. They think that just by not doing bad things and doing good things, they're getting free. But it doesn't work that way. The good karma is also a source of bondage. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Gyan, E Manodharma. It's all mental concoction, E Balo, E Manda, E Sabrahma. This is good, this is bad. It's all illusion. It's all nonsense. Because in the material world, good or bad is all bad. Dusta. Motive goodness is not good, it's bad. It's just called goodness because it's less bad. But it's bad. Good cell, to be in a good prison cell, but it's bad. So the Lord is transcendental to all this. Rahita, rahita means free. From what? Ayusha apachyam jantos tatayavo apachyam vibhu. the living entity sometimes gets a longer life, sometimes gets a shorter life. Ayusha means duration of life. Sometimes his life is being extended, sometimes his life is being shortened. But for the Lord, there's no question of longer life or shorter life. He lives eternally. He lives eternally. Nor is the Lord affected by giving someone a longer life or a shorter life. It's not that, if we shorten someone's life, we're responsible. We get karma for that. If we lengthen someone's life, we're responsible. We think we're doing someone a favor, but sometimes we give a person a chance to live longer. Just like the government, sometimes they become merciful and they think, why should this poor person, just for one mistake, have to be executed? Let him go to prison for life. And then someone thinks, why should he be in prison for life? Be merciful, shorten his sentence. And then they let him out, and then he goes and kills somebody else. So they think that they were doing good, but they're getting entangled. Whatever they do, they get entangled. The doctor lengthens someone's life, and the person goes out and does more mischief. So the laws of nature are so subtle that we get reactions for everything we do. You pick up a glass of water and put it down, and you've killed so many living entities who are underneath the glass. You bake some bread and you kill all the living beings in the oven. You walk on the grass, again you've killed so many living entities who are living in the grass. So at every step we're getting entangled in the modes of material nature. But the Lord, Namam Karmani Limpanti Name Karma Palestraha. The Lord, there's no karma that affects him. He's not affected by the laws of material nature, because after all, he's in charge of these laws. Namam Karmani Limpanti, and Name Karma Palestraha. He doesn't aspire to get anything from material activities. He has nothing to gain. When Krishna is performing his pastimes, it's not that he's going to gain something by doing this or doing that. He already has everything. He already owns everything. Everything's already his energy. But it's just his pastime that he appears in the material world and seems to be like one of the living beings, one of the people under the laws of karma. He's not under the laws of karma. But it's his pastime. Let me show something in this world. But he's not under the karmic laws. Iti mam yo vijanati karma bir nasa bhajate. Anyone who knows this also doesn't get entangled by the laws of nature. How can Krishna be entangled by the laws of nature? Even someone who knows Krishna doesn't get entangled. What is that? Janma karma cha me divya me vam yo veti tatvata. Tyaktva deham punarjanma nayati. Mameti. Anyone who factually understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's so-called birth, his activities, factually understands, tatvata, tatva deham punarjanmanayati. After leaving this material body, he doesn't have to come back again and accept another material body. Tatva deham punarjanmanayati. So if simply by understanding Krishna, one becomes free from material nature, then what to speak of Krishna's position? It's like if you go into the sun, you get warm, then how warm the sun must be? If just by walking out into the sunlight you get warm, how warm must be the sun? So if just by understanding Krishna one gets free from material nature, then what to speak of being Krishna? Being Krishna, of course, is possible only for Krishna. But we can become like Krishna according to our tiny position. Krishna is eternal. We can also be eternal. Krishna is full of knowledge, we can also be full of knowledge. Krishna is swastha. He's situated in his own position. We can also be situated in our own position. Instead of dusta, swastha. This is mukti. Mukti hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastati. Liberation means to give up this false form, these false designations. I'm American, I'm Dutch, I'm German, I'm white, I'm black, I'm this, I'm that. And swarupena, to be situated in one's own constitutional position. Swarupena vyavastati. I'm spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, I'm servant of Krishna. Jeev Krishna Dasa Vishvaj. Then no more miseries. But swastha, it's not that because Krishna is swastha, and when I'm liberated, I also become swastha. Krishna is eternal, and when I'm liberated, I'll also be eternal. I'll also be full of knowledge. I'll also be blissful, therefore I'll also be Krishna. No. In the Bhagavad Gita, Vedas, Nitya Nityanam, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam. Among all the eternals, there's one supreme eternal. Among all the conscious living beings, there's one supreme conscious living being. Eko Bahunam Yo Viditatikana. That one is maintaining all the others. That's the difference. The one is the maintainer. The others are maintained. One is independent, the others are dependent. Even in the liberated condition, nitya, even when we're situated in the eternal existence, there'll be one supreme eternal. Who's the source of all the others? So swarupena vyavastati means to be situated in our liberated condition as eternal servants of Krishna. That's our real business. Not to be rotating in the material existence, wandering around, bumming around the material world. But to be engaged in the eternal service of the Lord, the eternal association of the Lord. That's our real business. Dhru Maharaj is engaged in some unwanted program, killing so many yakshas. But Swayam Bhuva Manu is seeking to get him to desist by reviving his consciousness of Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
I'm a little bit corresponding with one previous discussion, and you came up with the idea that this is all of the perfect, complete, and self-satisfied, then if we say that he is in need of our devotion, then he is not complete.
Could you speak loud, please? If he's in need of if the Lord is in need of our devotion, he's not self-satisfied?
He's not complete, but
He's not complete nor self-satisfied?
If we say that he is in need of all devotion.
He's not in need of all devotion. The Lord is not in need of our devotion. It's not that without our devotion, he's not going to be happy. He's always happy. Why different? He's happy. He's enjoying. He's enjoying. We're suffering. He's complete. Even if you subtract innumerable living entities from Krishna, he remains complete. Purnasya purnamadaya. Purnameva vishishyate. If I have $1,000,000, you subtract 100,000, now I have 900,000. Subtract another 100,000, another, pretty soon I'm broke. But Krishna, you subtract infinite quantities from Krishna, he remains infinite. Therefore, there's nothing that can be done to diminish the completeness of the Lord. Even if you take so many complete units away from Him, He remains complete. So our Sariputta Prabhu sometimes explained this in terms of set theory. You know set theory, the set of all, for example, the set of all even numbers. You know, take all the even numbers that exist and subtract them from all the set of all whole numbers that exist. Take the set of all numbers and subtract all the even numbers. Now, how many whole numbers are left? You take the set of all whole numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 100 million, 101 million, you know, so on and so on, and you subtract all the even numbers, 2, 4, 6, 8. Now, how many whole numbers are left?
Unlimited.
Even if you subtracted all the even numbers that could possibly exist from all the whole numbers, there'd still be an infinite number of whole numbers.
If the Lord of goodness is bad, why is it that it's so much stress?
Yes, if the mode of goodness is bad, why is it so much stressed? Because something is better than nothing. It's a concession. If you can't do what you're really supposed to do, at least don't be vicious. Just like Narad Muni, he told the hunter, listen, at least do me a favor, in the future, kill the animals completely. Now you're half killing them. Better kill them. So does it mean that Narad Muni is in favor of animal killing? But he calculated that this guy's a hunter. If I tell him stop killing, that may not go very far. Kill them completely. That's not very good, but better than what you're doing. That's called negotiation. We don't expect that the person is going to really come up to what we have in mind, but we say, all right, how about 50-50? How about something? Or in sales, we say, how about, you know, try it for 10 days. You don't have to pay me anything, just try it for 10 days. So somehow or other, get him to at least to goodness, because in goodness there's knowledge. And from knowledge one can come to the higher platform. What is that? Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. What is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Anyway, it's the description of the mode of goodness. Let's see. Atma Buddhi Prasadaja. I've forgotten which verse that's from, but anyway, the quality of goodness is Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. From the mode of goodness comes satisfaction that comes from knowing oneself. 1837, thank you very much. Yattaragre vishamiva pariname prmitogam tatsukam satvikam prokta. The happiness in the mode of goodness, sukham sattvikam, of course seems like poison in the beginning, but at the end it's like nectar. And atma buddhi prasadaja. One gets satisfaction that comes from self-knowledge.
Atma Buddhi.
Satvikam Labhate Jnanam, right? If you want to look up another one, Satvikam Labhate Jnanam. From the mode of goodness comes knowledge. And by knowledge, one can, if one capitalizes on knowledge, more and more and more. Knowledge, real knowledge, means understanding oneself. And next thing, understanding the Supreme. And acting and understanding one's relationship with the Supreme and acting in that relationship. So it's just to get things going. It's from, just like a fire, on water you can't build a fire. On the ground you can't build a fire. But in the dry leaves you might be able to build a fire. So when the living entity falls into the mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, he's like in the water. This, practically every spark of spiritual consciousness is doused. When he comes to the mode of passion, he's still not going very far. It's like landing on the dry earth. When he comes to the mode of goodness, he's as if he were situated, the spark of consciousness is situated in the dry leaves. So with a little proper handling, he can become fire again. So the mode of goodness is appreciated. Is that okay?
Related to the previous question, if there's no devotee, would he be still up for
him? Yeah. Because all the devotees, even if Krishna had no devotees, he can become his own devotee. He does become his own devotee. Radha Krishna means Krishna and his greatest devotee. Who is Radha Krishna? Radha Krishna is Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti. It's just Krishna. But Krishna manifests with his energies. Krishna is complete with his energies. Therefore, if you take away Krishna's energies, you have impersonal. But Krishna is inseparable from his energies. Shakti Shakti Mateo Aveda. There's no difference between Krishna and his energies. But the conception in which Krishna's sheared of energies is the impersonal conception. In the impersonal conception, things are pretty dull. But just Krishna alone, enjoying with himself, that's Radha Krishna. Krishna is enjoying by himself. How is he enjoying by himself? By manifesting as two. He's one. Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti. He's not two. But he's manifest as two. Because enjoyment means two. Exchange. And Radharani is expanded as the Ashtasakhis. Whereas the queens, Dwarka. Or Lakshmi's and Vaikuntha. Even when Krishna's alone, he can enjoy. He's never alone. But therefore, Krishna doesn't need us. Prabhupada said Krishna doesn't need your dal, rice, and chapatis. It's not that he requires our service. He'll be needy without it. Somehow he'll starve. Somehow, no. But we need to be engaged in the service of Krishna. The need is from our side. The cow without the calf won't die. The calf without the cow will die. The calf is dependent. We're dependent on Krishna. Without Krishna, we're in a miserable condition. Dusta. And Krishna, without us, he's still happy. Only thing is that he's sorry that these miserable living entities are suffering. It's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. Is that okay? Yes.
You want to ask sometimes there are some
loud. You can do it. Just push harder.
Sometimes we see some contradictions in the book of Srila Prabhupada, and actually the issue there is one that the woman Sundari Kataridas was old, but Prabhupada mentions in the commentary that she was young. So there are also other similar.
So maybe we should leave.
Not to deal with those contradictions.
Is it very difficult? Is it very difficult? There's some contradictions. Well, maybe we should just leave. Is it crucial?
Not exactly.
Yeah? Is there some example that's crucial? Well, okay. Let us know. Huh? Prabhupada's not contradictory about the moon trip. He's quite consistent about it. Contradicts your ideas, but he's not. It's not self-contradictory. For some small contradiction, it's not very. It's exactly what it is. It's small, insignificant contradiction. Yeah. She was young or she was old. Oh gosh. Oh no. A very small thing. The spiritual master is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, if he were the Supreme Personality of Godhead, presumably his English grammar would have been perfect. He wouldn't have needed editors. But because he's a living being, he's not God, so there may seem to be some human frailties. But that's not very... That's superficial. Just like the Ganges. It appears to have mud or foam or stool in it. Now, if someone thinks, oh, they say the Ganges is pure, but just look, it's got mud in it, it's got foam in it. Ooh, it's got a dead body lying in it. Ooh, I'm never going to bathe in the Ganges again. That's superficial. The Ganges is still pure. Mm-hmm.
Because there is also quote by Prabhupada that the pure devotee can never make mistakes because everything is dictated to him by Krishna, so I don't.
You have to. I asked Prabhupada about that personally in Mayapur on a morning walk. I said that sometimes from the material point of view, we see that the spiritual master makes mistakes. Prabhupada said, that is material point of view. And I said, well, sometimes even in spiritual things, you know, he may seem to forget a verse or he may. And Prabhupada said, again, that's material point of view. Said it's not that the spiritual master is God or that he's a magician. That's our idea of perfection is different. We say, oh, he never forgets anything or he never says, uses the wrong word or something like that. That's our ideal never forgets a verse. That's perfection. There was some devotee, he came into 22nd Avenue early, before joining. Prabhupada was leading kirtan, and then Prabhupada finished the kirtan and took out the book, put on his glasses, and then the guy thought, what's this? He's a swami and he needs glasses? So he left, you know. What is this? What kind of swami is this? Then he came back. But so that's our materialistic vision. We think we have our idea of perfection, but that's not perfection. Prabhupada said you have to see how he's engaged in the service of Krishna, how he's preaching Krishna consciousness. He said that's perfection.
Absolutely, say that
everything is dictated by Krishna, and Krishna cannot make mistakes. Why don't you do the ultimate? Yes, because he's not perfect according to our estimation. You know, why didn't Krishna dictate with perfect grammar? We're thinking in terms of some material conception. But we have to see how these spiritual masters, just the same thing, that we're seeing the moon and we're saying, who made this thing with spots on it? You can find, they find fault with Krishna also. The Shishupal and others. Yeah, nobody knows whether he's a Brahmin or Kshatriya or Vaishya. No one knows who his real father is. He has no qualities. He's living in the middle of the ocean somewhere, out of fear of the kings of the world. They'll find so many ways. They'll find faults. You'll find faults in Krishna. He danced with other people's wives. He ran away from the battlefield. He was a juvenile delinquent. So many ways. If you have the mentality, you can find faults in Krishna also. He encouraged Arjuna to kill, and kill his family members, no less. So if there was such a person as Krishna, then I reject him. He was immoral. And so from a materialistic point of view, we'll find the mistakes in Krishna also. We'll find out what's wrong with him. So we have to have the mistake. Prabhupada said, you're the mistake. We're the ones who are mistaken. Because we're seeing from the materialistic point of view, we're judging perfection in terms of some material conception. Yes. Krishna consciousness movement is spread all over the world. Hundreds and thousands of people are chanting. Millions of people are getting books and benefiting from spiritual knowledge. People are taking prasadam. People are so much. No, here he said she was an old woman, and there he said she was a young woman. So, doesn't count for very much.
So can it be that the spiritual master will be will have many defaults, but still he has the love that will make him close to Krishna?
Yeah, this defect means superficial. Just like the spiritual master is old, or he's got some disease, or forgets something. So that appears to be a defect. But the defect is in our vision. We have to see how the spiritual master is engaged in the service of Krishna. It's our, that vision, that mistake we don't see. The mistake in our vision. Well, that's a very small thing. Whatever mistakes there might be in my consciousness, they're probably very small. But these big issues that, on this page it says this, on that page it said that, or that Krishna is supposed to dictate, but you know the dictation is not perfect. That, you know, that's a big deal. But the mistakes in our vision, that's not very important.
I have two opinions from the devotees that sometimes we should clarify all our doubts and then we can make spiritual advancement, and others say, well, it's not so important to clarify all the doubts, just become transcendental, spirited, and...
Well, you have to clarify all your doubts. Samshayatma vinashati. Person who is full of doubts is going to be finished. But how do you clarify your doubts? No question that the doubts should just stay there. We want to clarify the doubt. But how? By what process? Clarifying the doubt, that must be done. But how? What is your idea? How will doubt be clarified? Yes, but someone may inquire and inquire and inquire and have things explained and explained and explained, and still he won't get it. So many things, anything, any aspect of Krishna consciousness. Somebody can come and inquire and you explain it patiently, and he says, yeah, but, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you explain it, but it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you explain that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, just like a child who doesn't explain, understand something, you explain it, and he's, you know, but da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's safe to get on the bus. But what if there's, you know, what if the bus were to crash? No, it's all right. But what if, you know, the driver is a you know, turned into a werewolf? What would happen? Da-da-da-da-da, you know, there's... You know, at the end of it, you know, just kick the kid on the bus and say, you know, don't worry about it, kid, it'll be okay. And then the kid rides on the bus and sees that it's okay. So that's, you know, he learns something. So there are different methods of, you know, like I have some, one is by experience. One is by hearing. But some purifying process needs to be there. You know, you look and 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 still it looks foggy. And then they operate on your eyes and you look and it's clear. You know, why couldn't you just keep looking until it looked clear? Because that doesn't work. The cataract or whatever it is has to be fixed. Gyane prayasya mudupasya nimantareva. Lord Brahma said that Krishna consciousness is possible for the person who's given up on the process of understanding everything by intellectual speculation. That process, it's all right, but it has its limits. We'll never understand everything by mental speculation, because the mind is unlimitedly capable of coming up with another what if, or another yes but. That's the, yeah. Anything. You know something's true. Have you ever argued with somebody about something you knew was absolutely true? Let's not take philosophy, but something objective fact. And the person just could not get it, no matter how you explained it. Has that ever happened to you?
Not one time.
No. Never. One time.
Not one time. More than
one time. Okay. Not one time means many times. Right. There it is. It's objectively true. You're perfectly in knowledge that it's true. You're explaining it in clearest possible terms. And the person says, yeah, but, you know... So what's the problem? The thing is objectively true. The explanation is clear and simple. The person is using his intelligence to understand it. So why isn't it getting understood. What's the problem? That's right. I would say exactly that. There's some defect in the intelligence by which even when something's absolutely true, clearly evident, nicely explained, the guy just can't get it. And it happens to us, you know. We see, we think, I mean, it's not just, you know, the people that we meet, it's us. It happens to us. Somebody, you know, it's absolutely clear, clearly explained, practically self-evident, and we don't get it. And later, if we do get it, we say, well, you know, it was so obvious. Because we have a tendency to make mistakes, we have imperfect senses, tendency to be illusions, a little cheating propensity that goes even into the intellectual realm. We cheat ourselves. So it's good to try to understand everything with our intelligence, but it's also good to understand the limits of our intelligence and the diseased nature of our intelligence by which it doesn't work perfectly. In psychologists, you know, memory, take that one for example. That's another function of the intellect and the intelligence, memory. You know, it doesn't work all that great. You know, where did I put my damn keys? You know, and then you look in your pocket and there they are. You know, I've looked around for my glasses only to realize I was wearing them. So the intelligence is not all powerful. So we have to use our intelligence. We have to employ it, but we have to see its limitations and recognize the process for purifying the intelligence. You know, sometimes a person is a monster and we can't see it because we're blinded by love. You know, so different ways that we don't see things. And then when our vision is corrected, we see. So our intelligence is seeing to some extent, but our consciousness has to be purified. And when our consciousness is purified, then we'll see everything perfect. Then the intelligence will work properly. It's not that the acharyas were stupid. It's not that Ramanuja was acharya or Nimbarka acharya or Madhva acharya were like intellectually deficient. They couldn't recognize a good argument. You know, they were not in difficulty that way. They would run circles around us intellectually. You know, we come up with some philosophical point, but, you know, start reading these commentaries by the acharyas, the, you know, deep, deep stuff, you get lost. Or really become appreciative, depending on where we are. But my point is that they're not, you know, accepting Krishna consciousness because of intellectual deficiency. But they had purified vision. They had the intellectual capability, but at the same time, their consciousness was pure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no problem explaining so many philosophical matters, but consciousness was pure. And then you meet, you know, these mundane philosophers, big, big, you know, professors. We knew of one professor. He could explain so many things about Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. You know, between drinks. Yeah, so there was some symptom of missing the point there. He was very intellectual, he probably would have you know, run circles around us intellectually in many ways. After all, he's a big professor, very knowledgeable. But, you know, he couldn't have made it as a new bhakta in ISKCON because he couldn't follow the four regulative principles. You know, what's wrong with you that you're such a big professor, you've read all these things, you've translated them even, and you can't follow the four regs? Can't even see why you should. You know, how is it that you're such a scholar on this stuff and you haven't gotten that yet? But there it is. I mean, they're living, breathing specimens of this. That particular one is no longer living and breathing, but there's, you know, he has successors. Pashyanapi napashyati. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto. They're, even while seeing, they don't see. Deha pacha kalatradishu atma sanyasa satyapi teshu pramatta nidhana pashyanapi napashyati. Being mad, pramatta. What is that madness? They're so attached to their bodies, their wives, their families, deha, apacha, kalatra. They think, these are my soldiers. You know, if I'm ever in trouble, I can call American Express. You know, help me out with anything. I'll call my lawyer, I'll call my doctor. I call my brother, who's a big man in Washington. Atma Sainyeshu. These are my soldiers, but Asatsvapi, they're all going to die. So how can they save me when they themselves are bound hand and foot by karma? How are they going to get me out of trouble? But Pashyanapi Napashyati, even while seeing, people don't see. Why? Pramatta, because they're crazy. Everyone in this material world is more or less crazy. And these are big, smart people. These are people with graduate degrees. These are people who are like, you know, running big corporations. These are people who are psychologists and doctors and this and that. And they don't get it. How come? They're big, big philosophers. So why don't they get it? Their consciousness is not purified. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaito Dharpana Marjana. The instrument needs to be cleaned. Otherwise, we're not going to see. Yesterday, Adishtanam, Indriyani, Mano buddhira syadhishtanam uchite. Mind, intelligence, and the senses are the sitting places of material contamination. Therefore, they have to be purified. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.